We're in Luke's Gospel today. Luke's Gospel, chapter 19. Looking at the first 10 verses in a sermon entitled Zacchaeus. Luke, chapter 19. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down. Come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be with the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here now I give half my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." Lord Jesus, thank you that you came to seek and save the lost, and thank you for the day when you saved me, a lost soul. I pray today that as we look at this well-known story for Sunday school with a song to go along, that you would minister to us by the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, Mrs. Billy Cannon, who lives in Knoxville, Tennessee, a homemaker, was preparing to paint her back porch. So here we got a homemaker. She's getting ready to paint her back porch. And she wanted to protect the floor, so she very carefully placed around it and around those edges a floor strip of Scotch tape. You know, the kind that has the adhesive on both sides. And it was her plan to place a drop cloth over the floor. So you got the tape, then you go put the drop cloth over top, it stays in place, everything's wonderful. So she finished and was successful at placing the tape around the entire surface. And then she went back inside the house to get a drop cloth. And when she came back to the porch sometime later, she found that all, absolutely all of that carefully placed tape was totally and completely gone. All that work. She was mystified. Who would do such a thing? How could this happen? Where could it be? Why would they take the time to pull up this tape? And she's surveying the situation, she's mulling it over, she's trying, very puzzled, to figure out her predicament. And then, just then, she saw something moving in her backyard. Looking closely, she discovered that it was a snake. And it was a rather large creature of its species, but it was no threat to her. And one reason that it was no threat was that it was hopelessly immobilized by being totally enmeshed in a large ball of Scotch tape. Evidently, while Mrs. Cannon was in the house, the snake crawled up onto the back porch, eased itself onto the tape, adhesive is on both sides, and sensing that that tape was sticking to its sin, to its skin, we'll get to sin, the snake obviously put up a terrible struggle. And in doing so, it pulled up every bit of tape from the floor. But the harder it fought, the more hopelessly it became entangled in its cellophane prison until now it was totally captive. Now, I want to tell you today that that snake and that situation reminds me of many people that I have known. Somewhere along the way, they have made a serious mistake. And then, rather than calmly trying to analyze their situation, rather than actually correcting their course, they have reacted impulsively, just like that snake. And soon their lives are just like the snakes. The more they struggle, the more entangled they become, until eventually they are totally immobilized, psychologically, emotionally, spiritually. And I think that Zacchaeus was in that state. I think he was in that state as we come to him in this 19th chapter of Luke. Now, the Bible says that he was a wealthy person. Verse 2, a man there by the name of Zacchaeus, he was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. So it's important for us to find out by the writer that who this guy was. He's a bigwig, high up, very wealthy. But he was missing something. All that position, all that prestige, all that money, being able to do and have whatever it is that he wanted was not enough. He needed something more. And we find in this passage that not only did he want to be on the parade route for Jesus, he absolutely wanted to see Jesus. He wanted to see him so badly. First of all, he was short, so that was tough. I mean, other people in front of him, he couldn't kind of push his way to the front. So he's like, I want to see Jesus. I got to see this guy. I've heard so much about him. I got to see him. So he runs ahead, and he climbs a tree. He runs ahead, and he climbs a tree to see Jesus. Now, can you imagine, think of a prominent politician, a prominent person in our community. Imagine that there's someone that's walking by. Imagine that this official is short of stature, and he's part of this parade, watching on the sidelines. And can you imagine that official climbing up into a tree in order to get a glimpse of this popular religious figure? I think that the picture is absolutely absurd. This is a bigwig. Everybody knows him. And now what he's done is, he is so desperate to see Jesus. He is so desperate to encounter Jesus that he climbs a tree. He climbs a tree. You can get it in your mind. This guy up the tree. He was in a really desperate state of mind. There's no question in my mind that he was unhappy about something in his life. All of us can be overwhelmed by difficulties. All of us can be pressed down and overwhelmed by the waves that life can bring our way. We can be totally overwhelmed, totally overcome. So he's being gnawed by his insides. His money, his position, his power cannot satisfy him. And he's thinking, maybe, just maybe, Jesus could help him untangle his life. It was a long shot. Seemed to be worth it, though. You know, it had to be, or Zacchaeus wouldn't have been up in that tree. Nevertheless, the crowd, Zacchaeus, nobody could have calculated or figured that the next item would happen. It is a phenomenal surprise, an unbelievable moment, because not only is Jesus coming, he gets to the spot, Jesus does, where this man is. And he gets to the spot, imagine in your mind, Jesus gets to the spot, he looks up into the tree, he sees Zacchaeus, and he says to him, Zacchaeus, come down. Come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. The Sunday school song would go, I'm going to your house for tea. I'm going to your house for tea. Zacchaeus was a wee little man. A wee little man was he. Climbed up into the sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. This Sunday school song is something that should remind all of us of the reality that if we try and try to reach out to Jesus, he will stop. But in this story, it's just amazing. You can see it unfold. And Luke tells us that Zacchaeus did come down immediately. He received Jesus joyfully into his house because he realized that Jesus could set him free. That Jesus could ease his anxiety, his pain, his difficulty, everything that was going on that he was looking for. Jesus was exactly what Zacchaeus needed. And the presence of Jesus, we see from the scripture, had a tremendously powerful impact. Verse 8. Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, 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 I give half my possessions to the poor. If I've cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. So the impact on Zacchaeus is immediate, and we need to understand what that impact was. It changed his behavior. Jesus changed his life, and Zacchaeus' response was to change his behavior. We are talking in Sunday school today about the ministry of Jesus. And all of you should know that salvation is not a set of what's, but it begins with a who. Salvation is Jesus Christ. Period. End of story. For by grace are you saved through faith. It's a gift, that not of yourselves. So you can boast and say, hey, look what I got. Jesus saved you. Now, the reality is that if he really did save you and transform you, it will change you, just like Matt said. Not easy. Every day we face challenges, but the reality is when you encounter Christ, he changes you. He changes your choices. He changes your behavior. And so, following this proclamation by Zacchaeus, we find this wonderful set of words from Jesus himself. Verse 9. Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. This is why Jesus came. To die upon a cross. To have a horrible death. So that his blood and his sacrifice could result in our ability to be saved. His entire reason for being was to lay down his life for us. And I got to tell you, if you're feeling lost this morning, your life is in a hopeless tangle, if you feel immobilized by doubt or fear or guilt, Jesus is looking for you. Understand what I'm saying. Get this Zacchaeus key thing in your mind. Sometimes we're saying, God, where are you? When we go through difficult times, when there are circumstances that just weigh us down, and we feel like we're up a tree. With Lucy gone, I do feel like I'm up a tree, so Jesus, come on over. The reality of whatever it is that you're facing, not only is Jesus with you, Jesus is looking for you. He was looking more diligently for Zacchaeus than even Zacchaeus was looking for him. That says something not only about Jesus' purpose, it says something about Zacchaeus' potential. Have you ever thought, Have you ever thought what a difference you could make for the kingdom of God if somehow Christ could make the change in your life that he made in the life of Zacchaeus? Transformational change. I'm telling you this morning that God sees in your life and mine an awesome potential. An awesome potential, maybe that we're unaware of. Hey, what is it that God can use me to do? Other great people of the faith have asked this question before. The answer is not for you to give, but God sees in you potential. You are a promise. You are a possibility. You are a great big bunch of this reality that Jesus can bring to your way. You are a promise. You're a possibility. It's interesting and encouraging to notice how Jesus treated people. I really am touched by that. Didn't matter whether it was a woman on the street, a tax collector in a tree, Jesus could see something that nobody else could see. He sees in your sinful life with your difficulties and your depression and your hurt and your pain, he sees potential. He sees what he can do if you will give your life fully and completely to him. He knows what is possible. When Jesus looked at Zacchaeus, he saw a vessel of the kingdom. Jesus was more eager to see Zacchaeus than Zacchaeus was to see him. But Zacchaeus was changed not only by what Jesus saw in him, he also was changed by what he saw in Jesus. So many of us are searching for help, seeking answers. Even those of us who have come to a personal relationship with Jesus, if you're lost and you haven't found him, he wants to save you. But even for those of us who know Jesus, the difficulties and trials that come our way cause us to wonder where God is and how it is that he can use us in the midst of that difficulty. But I'm telling you what Zacchaeus sees in Jesus is hope and holiness. And we also should see in the Jesus who is looking for us hope. Hope in our circumstance. Hope in our situation. Light at the end of the tunnel. We also should see what the powerful presence of the holiness of God can do to change our hearts and change our minds. Jesus represented hope to Zacchaeus, or he would not have sought him out so eagerly. He knew in his heart of hearts that Jesus was more than just a religious figure. Here was the man who was the answer to his problems. You know, some people shy away from religion because they're afraid that they may be trading in one set of chains for another. They're so focused on the what's. This is what you should do. This is what you should say. What? Don't get to the what until you accept the who. Because the who, Jesus, will change you. You'll have a great idea about what the what's are. So don't be stopped from coming to know Jesus by saying, I just can't do all the what's. Hey, he'll change you one day at a time, one step at a time. It may not happen overnight. But if you know the who in Jesus, instead of focusing on the chains of the what's, you'll ask him to help you. Zacchaeus sees in Jesus hope. He sees in Jesus holiness. Why is it that he's willing to give half of his wealth to the poor, make fourfold restitution to anybody that he defrauded? Could it be that he saw in Jesus such love, such purity, such honor, that he was very well aware now of how sordid his life was in comparison? Jesus changed him. And he wanted to change himself. And so he made some choices that brought him more into alignment with the salvation he had received. He saw the difference between Christ's life and his own. And so he sought to make restitution for his sin. And that's important to us. You see, I think a lot of us want to be half saved, half converted. We want to see Christ as hope, but not as holiness. We want to be set free from guilt without changing. So we still wear the chains of slavery. We're still tangled in a prison of cellophane. We see now what Jesus saw in Zacchaeus, but we also see what Zacchaeus surely saw in Jesus. What did the crowd see, though? Because there's an audience. There's Jesus, there's Zacchaeus, but there's one more group that we didn't come to yet. Verse 7, chapter 19. All the people saw this. That's Zacchaeus in the tree, Jesus stopping. Zacchaeus comes down, goes to his home. Here's what they say. They begin to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." How can Jesus actually go and do this? Well, guess what? Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. Seek and save the lost. You know, the crowd probably gathered out of curiosity. Popular person in Jesus at that time. He'd come to their town. But what is it that they saw? They saw Jesus go home with a sinner, and that scandalized them. Luke tells us that they murmured among themselves. And I got to tell you, nominally religious people always murmur among themselves. Have you ever noticed that? God saves us people who are converted just enough so that we can criticize everybody else. Mark Twain was famous as a humorist, but he was bitterly cynical about religion. And he said on one occasion that if Christ was here right now, there was one thing that Christ would not be: a Christian. You see, Twain was confusing deeply committed followers of Christ with the half-hearted converts that he saw in his life. And that makes a difference. Hey, people are going to be looking at us and we are going to fall and fail because we're sinners. But if we live the Christ life, if we do the best that we can by the power of Christ himself, Jesus' light will shine from us. Now, people looking to just criticize and say, "Oh, look at this guy. He's a sinner. How could I want to be a Christian? If Christians act like that, I want nothing to do with them." We should not be looking at people, at the murmurers. We should be looking at the who. We should be looking at Jesus, who seeks us out. We look at his purity, his endless devotion, his death on the cross. And just because there are a bunch of people who are half converts that push people away, by their sin, usually it's some big sin by a televangelist or something else. The bottom line is, though, we're all sinners. And whether it's a big sin in our lives that nobody else knows about, or a big sin that because somebody's on television, everybody knows about, they'll know we're Christians by our love. And we have to do our best to be totally committed to Jesus. Because then his life and light will shine out from us. And Zacchaeus emerged from this encounter as a new man. I believe that it was Corrie ten Boom who said that when light is turned on in a dark room, it's obvious. If a corpse were to rise from its coffin and live again, there would be no need to hang out a sign about that corpse's neck to tell the world that there had been a change. Light comes on in a dark place, there's a change. A person in a coffin who's dead that now comes alive again, there's a change. It's impossible not to see there's been a change. When the doors of a penitentiary swing outward and a prisoner walks out into freedom, it is immediately apparent to them that they're no longer in a cell, but they're free. It's very clear. And so that is when a person comes to faith in Jesus Christ. You know it. You feel it. You feel the transformation that he's making, the freedom that he gives, like a light coming on in a dark place. That's why Jesus came, to seek and to save the lost, to free us from our hopelessly entangled lives. Jesus sees in us more potential than we see in ourselves. And in him, we should see both hope and holiness. Our desire is to seek him and practice the presence of the holy. Try to understand that we are on holy ground. When we have an encounter with Christ, as believers, we try to correct the problems in our lives, not out of duty, but out of joy, out of a determination to resolve the difference between Jesus' life and our life. That's a good part of the what would Jesus do. Zacchaeus welcomed Jesus so very joyfully into his home. Wouldn't you? Wouldn't you, if you believed that such a change could take place in your life today? A snake entangled in cellophane, is that a metaphor for your life? Jesus wants to save you. Jesus is seeking to save the lost. Boy, I'll tell you, that gives me great hope. I am so thankful. Praising God for the day back before I even became a teenager when I gave my life to Jesus and when he placed a call on my life to proclaim the gospel. There was a change in me, and it changed my life forever. I am not perfect, in fact, far from it. I sin, and I'm sure that there are times when somebody could look at my life and say, wow, I'm not seeing how that lines up with exactly what all the scripture demands and requires. The Christian walk is a walk. And sometimes there are bumps, sometimes we fall down, sometimes there are bruises that come along, but Jesus is with us. And I just thank him for the difference he made in my life, the difference he makes in my life. And when I'm having a really rough day, a tough time, I just need to remember that he's seeking me, that he knows what I'm going through, and that he's going to see me through. And that gives me great hope and great promise. Remember this. Zacchaeus was so desperate that he climbed a tree. Jesus came along and not only walked by, giving Zacchaeus an opportunity to see Jesus, but Jesus said, come on down. I'm going to be with you. And it transformed his life. Spend some time with Jesus, and he will transform you. If you don't know him as Lord and Savior, may this be the day that you invite him into your life. If you do know him as Lord and Savior, remember, whether you're going through difficult times right now or do in the future, that he loves you. He loves you so much that he not only knows what you're going through, cares about what you're going through, but is willing to walk over to the tree you're in, or the swamp that you got into, and He's going to lift you. He's going to help you. He's going to see you through. That's the promise of the Bible. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank You for the reality of Your salvation. And I pray today, as I continue to seek Your help, as each of us continue to seek Your help, Lord, that we would always know that there is hope in the Lord. And that, Lord, we should be always trying to practice Your presence. Trying, Lord, to do our best to become more like You every day. Help us to do that in Jesus' name. Amen. 520, let's stand as we sing. 520. Let's stand together. 520.
There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its word. It sounds like music.